It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 32. This one is being recorded from my office at St. Peter's Church, and therefore you may hear occasional sounds like doors banging and cars going past and even the bells chiming, but that's gives all the appearance of it being live. Well, we've a lot for you this week, and thanks for all the feedback from the last couple of weeks as well, a couple of items of which we'll mention here. This week we're going to go Australia, Canada, China, and the United Kingdom, where we begin with knife crime. Now, there's been an increase in the number of knife crimes, although in reality what's happening, there's been an increase in the reporting of it and what's called the moral panic around it. Now, in all the things that have been said, I was very impressed with this rapper called Akela. And this is what he has to say. Listen to it.
Every generation pretends gang crime is a new problem. So when you look at the press reports they cite in their scholarship, it's this same sort of sense of moral panic, this unprecedented thing. When actually we've had violent teenage youth gangs for 150, 200 years, maybe even longer. And the social indicators of that violence have remained identical for almost 200 years, as have the sort of facile explanations of
violence. And those social indicators are?
Poverty, domestic abuse, lack of education, so expulsion from school. So, for example, almost half the people in prison today in Britain were expelled from school as children versus just 1% in the population as a whole. Among young people, about half the young people in young offenders institutes were at some point in care growing up versus about 1% in the population as a whole. So social indicators have remained...
I think he's spot on when he talks about poverty and domestic abuse and lack of education. I think what he missed in his interview was quite spectacular, really, and that is the role of fathers. The bottom line is that our society talks about solutions for symptoms. So more police, more youth clubs, and so on. But in reality, what's going on here is a result of human sin and a result of a breakdown in the family. And we've got this paradox of our liberal Western elites really promoting a view of family and sex and lifestyle which undermines the family, and then complaining when the chickens come home to roost. Now, what's interesting in that regard is the case of the primary school or Parkfield Community School in Saltley, Birmingham, which has a very large number of Muslim pupils, and over 600 of whom were withdrawn by their parents from classes in which homosexuality and transgenderism were promoted. And the school actually, they've succeeded. The school actually have given in and have withdrawn and said it will no longer make it mandatory for all pupils to engage in discussions on homophobia. This is probably the one time amongst the chattering classes that you'll get people to attack Islam, because the only thing that overrides Islam is gay and trans rights or issues. Now, what I was struck by is Brendan O'Neill's column in Spiked, which again we put a link to, and I would highly recommend that you listen to. And he just says something that is so blatantly obvious. When it comes to moral and religious matters, parents should exercise the greater authority over their children. It is crucial for the sovereignty of the family and the rights of parents that their moral purview is not casually transduced by officials who presume to know better. Why is it that it takes an agnostic Marxist to state that when so many people in the churches are silent or are in fact saying the opposite? Now, in this same area, we're talking also about what's going on in Canada, where there's an extraordinary case that has just occurred. The Supreme Court in British Columbia has ordered that a 14-year-old girl receive testosterone injections without parental consent, and the court also said that if the parents referred to her using female pronouns or addressed her by her birth name, the name they'd given her, then they could be charged with family violence. The Canadian state is going mad. I want to refer to a letter that I received from a Christian teacher. This teacher points out that their head teacher, secondary school in the west of Scotland, is an atheist and very open about it, and that he had informed her that he would not be allowing the Gideons into the school, as they have come every year for decades. They would not be allowed to speak to pupils in assembly because he says they proselytize. However, he has also said that this month is LGBTQI History Week, and so there'll be compulsory assemblies for each year group led by pupils from the school's LGBTQI group. So one group is to be allowed to proselytize, and another group that doesn't proselytize will not be allowed into the school. This is, as the teacher says, an example of the indoctrination and intolerance that we've highlighted so often here. The teacher goes on to say, and again, how sad that she has to remain anonymous, such is the intimidatory atmosphere in our culture, that, quote, the situation in our schools is depressing, and there are so few Christians even who are challenging any of it. Well, thank you for that letter, and you continue to serve and to be salt and light and to challenge. Let's return to Canada, where the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has been hailed as kind of one of the bright, young, progressive, modern leaders in the world. And he's in deep trouble. His party has slipped down in the polls, and he himself is running at an approval rate of 35%, which is less than Trump. But he really is in trouble because one of his former ministers, Jody Wilson-Raybould, has accused him in great detail of bullying and corruption.
I experienced a consistent and sustained effort by many people within the government to seek to politically interfere in the exercise of prosecutorial discretion in my role as the Attorney General of Canada in an inappropriate effort to secure a deferred prosecution agreement with SNC-Lavalin.
Trudeau has disputed her allegations.
And it's questionable whether he will be able to survive this, and highly unlikely that he will be re-elected. He really is, and I'm sorry for our Canadian brothers and sisters, one of the most ineffective and useless political leaders in the world, focusing on his image, focusing on inverted commas progressive politics, and largely seeming to forget about his country. But as we've seen already in the Supreme Court and his policy of legalizing marijuana and various other progressive things, he's leading Canada on a path to destruction. Now, speaking of Canada, of course, there are some many good things that have come out of Canada. And in contrast to Trudeau, there's Jordan Peterson, who we've referenced many times. And he was recently on the Q&A show in Australia. And I would highly recommend watching the video of it. And again, we put a link to that. I think it was absolutely brilliant in many ways. And by the way, let me say here that I was incredibly impressed with another panelist on that show, and that was the transgender person, Catherine McGregor, who just came across remarkably well. I'd love to meet her. But I want you to hear this clip of Peterson being questioned, because it's really very typical of the kind of hostility that people do. They're not asking questions, they're making accusations. And hear how Peterson deals with this, I think, as is his wont, politely but firmly.
You have very simple answers to complex questions. You know, I think you often talk about your individual responsibility over things that it's impossible for individuals to actually have responsibility over. You look at the extortionate housing market, the precarious gig economy, like things that are well out of our control. So I want to know, what is your answer to young people for some of the really big problems facing humanity, like the climate catastrophe, like economic crisis, like the precarious job market, because they just don't, like, you talk all this much about individual responsibility. Most of us are never going to be able to afford to have all of these assets to have responsibility over. So what is your advice beyond banal comments like clean your room?
Well, you know, it's actually rather difficult to answer a question that ends with your comments are banal, politely. So, you know, I would consider that more of an opinionated personal and political statement than actually a question. So why don't you try reformulating that so that there's an actual question there?
What is your... So what is your advice to young people when you talk about you need to be individually responsible, but when there are things that are so far out of our control, like climate catastrophe, like the precarious job economy, like the economic crisis?
They're not as far out of your control as you think.
What is your answer to people who are facing these questions?
Do you think that you're worse off than your grandparents?
I think there are different challenges.
Do you think you're worse off than your grandparents?
Jordan, once again, we're not going to cross-examine our questioners. So try answering the question about collective responsibility on climate change, for example. Pick one.
And, of course, Peterson is tied up with this whole transgender nonsense, which we mention again not because we are obsessed with it, but because our culture is. So every single day this week, the issue that we mentioned several years ago, and which, again, I cannot stress how much we were mocked for saying that women's sports would be destroyed. We said this about 4 years ago. And this is now happening. And this issue has been on the news every single day this week. So Sharon Davis, for example, as you'll hear here, questioning, she's a British Olympic gold medal winner, questioning the advantage that men have. Now, you'd think this is just basic science, this is basic common sense. And yet so many of our politicians, so many of our elites just do not grasp this.
If a young boy goes through puberty, he has increased lung capacity, he has higher red blood cell count, he has a different skeletal system, a smaller, narrower pelvis, which helps certainly on a bike. He has muscle memory from the testosterone that's been in his system. And the actual amount that they have to reduce their testosterone still makes it very high compared to the average woman. So there's a lot of residual values that carry on and therefore makes it unfair. You know, we don't see transgender women that transition over to men competing against men because they're at a disadvantage. And then the opposite happens with women. They end up with an advantage. And that's what we're not so happy about. So we just
I think it's become just quite extraordinary how this seems to have taken over. Incidentally, Twitter has again banned somebody, this time Suzanne Evans, for saying that a trans woman wasn't ladylike. Man, that counts as hate speech. Twitter, could you do me a favour? Could you ban all the people who say that I'm not Christ-like because I argue? Because, you know, that's not nice for a Christian to be told that. That's hate speech, isn't it? Christians need to be very aware. We need to make sure that we've got other platforms because Twitter and Facebook and these corporate giants, in collusion with the liberal elites, are going to ensure that we are excluded as much as any other group, if not more so. Let's move on to China and the link between capitalism and communism. And I do think that this is one of the ideologies that may really take hold and will be detrimental to the church. And that is the state authoritarianism of communism combined with the corporate authoritarianism of capitalism. Those two things combined together. So you have these two things coming together with Kentucky Fried Chicken in China. Yep, you heard right. The Kentucky Fried Chicken branch in China has reinvented itself as a shrine to the Chinese communist hero Li Feng. I think he was kind of, Chairman Mao had him down as the kind of ideal Chinese soldier. And I do think that this Li Feng thing, Li Feng Day, it's just interesting that KFC, well, they know how to make money, and they are paying homage to this model Chinese communist soldier. I guess it's good business practice. I'm not quite too sure what the colonel would say about all of that. The Chinese, of course, had this one-child policy in terms of population control, and that's another issue that's again come to the fore, and as we've been thinking about children and everything else as well. Now, there is an organization that's called Birth Strike, and listen to these two ladies talking about why they've joined it.
Our planet is in a kind of collapse. The natural world is collapsing around us, and that's actually happening right now. And I'm so disappointed by the response by authorities to this crisis, and so freaked out by it. Everything that I've read, that I've basically last year I came to the decision that I couldn't bring a child into that.
And you have come to the same conclusion, Alice?
Yeah, I have. I mean, each day for me is a struggle. I'm so depressed, and that has led to just a fear that I've never felt before. And my decision for being on Birth Strike mostly has come from not wanting to pass that fear on to someone else. If we're in this situation now, you know, even since my parents had me, we've destroyed 60% of life on this planet. What would that be like when my child's my age? Will there be 10% left? That's not just to do with being, you know, a nature wildlife enthusiast like I am. That's actually, that's dangerous as well.
Oh, it's so depressing that. Do you know, these are two young women who say they're not going to have any children because they are so depressed. They are so scared about the family. Each day for me is a struggle. 60% of the planet has been destroyed. No, it hasn't. You see, what's happening is we're creating this society in which people are dumbed down, irrational, and it's like we're becoming like one mass cult. It's as though these ladies have drunk the Kool-Aid. Yes, of course, climate change is real. Of course, threats to the planet are real. But this kind of doomsday scenario that keeps being put up. Yeah, I'll tell you, you know what science says? Science says it's all going to implode or explode at some point. It's not going to go on forever. You know what the Bible says? That the heavens and earth will be burned up and there'll be a renewed heavens and a renewed earth. The Christian hope is very, very different. But how sad, and you think of this in terms of the Christian gospel, how sad that these women are walking around in such fear. Well, Jesus came to rescue us from our fears, and really we need to get to people with the gospel, because this is the kind of madness that's engulfing so much of our culture and our society. I wonder if these ladies have thought of this, that, again, I'll put a link to this, there's been a remarkable decline in fertility rates, where we're in danger of creating societies with more grandparents than grandchildren. It's a study published in the British medical journal The Lancet, which followed trends in every country from 1950 to 2017. In 1950, women were having an average of 4.7 children in their lifetime. This has now all but halved to 2.4 children per woman by last year. In Niger and West Africa, it's 7.1. In Cyprus, it's one child on average. In the UK, the rate is 1.7. Now, to understand this, a country's rate, if it drops below approximately 2.1, then populations will eventually start to shrink. And that creates all kinds of problems. It may be that the issue, and certainly the issue in Western Europe, is that, and in Japan and else, that there is a decline in the fertility rate, which causes a great deal of harm. Add to this abortion and the impact of abortion in our culture, and at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're killing ourselves. Overpopulation is a problem. Underpopulation is a problem. And again, it's just the mass confusion, people not bringing God into the equation and not thinking logically. Well, let's move on. Maybe our final item. The death of Andre Previn, the child prodigy who went on to worldwide fame as a pianist, conductor and composer. Born in Berlin on the 6th of April in 1929, he died in Manhattan in New York on the 28th of February this year. Interesting character, very talented man, very mixed up life in so many different ways. He, of course, his father is a Jew from Germany, and they left Hitler's Germany, went to Paris, and then left for Los Angeles. It's interesting, though, that I suspect many people my age in the United Kingdom, when they think of Andre Previn, will think of this sketch with Morecambe and Wise, which, to me, it still brings a smile to my eyes.
So they're wrong with the violins?
No, there's nothing wrong with the violins.
That's only your opinion.
What were you playing just then?
The Greek piano concerto.
You're playing all the wrong notes.
I'm playing all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. I'll give you that. I'll give you that, sunshine.
That sounded quite reasonable to me. Are you satisfied, Mr. Preview?
No!
No! Why not?
Well, look here, I mean, with all due deference, would you mind just wait 1 second here?
Don't forget, for another £4, we could have got Edward Heath.
Humour and music combined. Actually, a great combination. And here's our quote of the week, and it comes from, since we've mentioned him already, Jordan Peterson from his 12 Rules for Life. At the beginning of time, according to the great Western tradition, the word of God transformed chaos into being through the act of speech. It is axiomatic within that tradition that man and woman alike are made in the image of that God. We also transform chaos into being through speech. We transform the manifold possibilities of the future into the actualities of past and present. To tell the truth is to bring the most habitable reality into being. Truth builds edifices that can stand 1,000 years. Truth feeds and clothes the poor and makes nations wealthy and safe. Truth reduces the terrible complexity of a man to the simplicity of his word so that he can become a partner rather than an enemy. Truth makes the past truly past and makes the best of the future's possibilities. Truth is the ultimate, inexhaustible, natural resource. It's the light in the darkness. See the truth. Tell the truth. Well, Mr. Peterson, you're so close and you're so far because you missed out one thing. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we're seeking to do in the podcast. We're seeking to tell the truth. We're seeking to share the truth. And God bless you. We'll see you next week. Please continue to send in stories and comments and suggestions. Those of you who are patrons, thank you. If you'd like to become a patron and help support this, please do so. Thanks to all. There was a patrons podcast that I put out, and thanks to all those who responded with suggestions and comments. But God bless you, and we shall see you next week. Thank you.